I remember some of my first experiences of serving somehow in the parish back when I was before seminary, living out in New York State, and just what that was like. The first thing was helping to teach in religious ed, in CCD, as it was known at the time. And I remember having never taught before, going into this class of high schoolers. It was crazy. The DRE, Rose, she gave me as my first teaching assignment to teach Christian sexual ethics to high school freshmen. And I was so nervous that I didn't even introduce myself until the third week of class. And then the next semester was, who is Jesus? Like, couldn't we just like flip that around or something? But so I did that. And then I also helped organize a pilgrimage that we had in upstate New York for the Shrine of the North American Martyrs, and more getting drawn into to kind of life in the parish and serving. And what I discovered is that there could be such a genuine joy in doing that, of entering into this parish family, and how that could be so revitalizing, you know, not only in my service towards others, but for myself as I guided by that charity of God, you know, give myself as a gift to others and experience that deep sense of belonging that I think is really meant to be there as a parish family. I think the readings we have today kind of give for us maybe some kind of benchmarks for just describing what are signs of vitality for a parish community, but also what are signs of vitality for myself as an individual Christian. And I think they also point to the ways to foster that kind of vitality, both within a parish and as an individual. And I think that'll then give us a context for that reality of stewardship when I give that report at the end of our Mass. So what do our readings lay out for us? Our first reading points to that care for the poor. That is simply a fundamental concern of the Lord, of our Lord God, who is both Creator as well as Savior. And in that, recognizing the great value that God has placed upon each person, as it says in our reading, if he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate, says the Lord. And so our Lord's great compassion and regard for each person. And then also, I think another thing that underlies this care for the poor that our first reading brings out is remembering the poverty from which we ourselves come. Of course, Israel was reminded in that reading, you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. Remember your own mistreatment and don't do likewise for those who are then in your midst. Now for us, you know, we weren't slaves in Egypt, very likely, but we all have an essential poverty, a great need for God. None of us are born into this world saved. And we need that from our Lord, who in his gracious mercy extends his life, his salvation to each one of us. And so we have an essential need for God. And recognizing that, then to be attentive to the array of needs that others have in their own lives. And so one benchmark of vitality is this lively care for the poor. Our second reading moves into a whole other dimension, which is this growth in holiness and mission. I think a great way to sum that up is what St. Paul described the Thessalonians as having done. They are imitators of the Lord, just as he is. And they imitate the apostles in this having this mission that Jesus Christ has given to us. It's really beautiful if you unpack, like, what is St. Paul praising them for? And yes, I want that in my life as well. I want that in my parish as well. Things like really receiving the gospel message, he describes, or receiving the word, as he says, even in the midst of affliction, because we receive in that joy from the Holy Spirit, not just from happy and easy circumstances, but from an interior joy that the Holy Spirit can give, this gaudium, as it's known in Latin. And so there is this holiness that is marked by joy and a receptivity to what God wants to give us. And it's also marked, he notes, by genuine conversion. He describes the Thessalonians that you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so this ongoing reality of conversion, and where are there idols in my life that are dead and lead me into death, and instead to turn with the help of the Spirit to the living and true God. And so there's this dimension of personal holiness summed up in that imitation of Christ. But the other side of the coin, as Pope Benedict would say, is mission, is that zeal for the mission of Christ and the mission entrusted to Paul and the apostles. And he notes how for the Thessalonians, from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. And so that's another essential part of a vital Christian life and community. And then we come to our gospel, where we have Jesus who speaks about the greatest commandments. First of all, love of God, you know, with all of our person of who we are, and then love of neighbor flowing out of that. And there's really a profound connection between love of neighbor and love of God, because in that genuine love of neighbor, it manifests my love for God, because I am having compassion and care and uniting my heart with God's for the ones that he cares about, which ultimately is everybody. And so love of neighbor is entering in a certain way into that love of God. And that's one great joy of service that I've discovered, that as I give myself for others in Christ, I experience something of Christ's own love for the other, and not just my own meager proportions of love and conditions I place upon it and in my human frailty, but to have the love of Christ working through me. But how can I ever do that if I don't really try to love my neighbor as Christ teaches? And this love, my brothers and sisters, must be expressed in actions. You know, love that is simply words or sentiments or hypotheticals is proven pretty empty very quickly. Love is proven by its actions. And as St. Paul told the Corinthians, the love of Christ impels us. Into this service of others. And the cool thing is that as we love and serve others with concrete actions, the Lord actually reckons it as being loving service to him directly. As we hear and so famously in Matthew 25, that you know, for those who have helped the poor, the stranger, the ill and imprisoned, Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." You know, that was actually the "you did it for me" was such a key line for Mother Teresa and her incredible life of charity, love of neighbor. And then maybe the first letter of John simply puts it more bluntly. Sometimes we just need to hear it this way, where he says, "Whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And so I think these are important kind of markers for vitality in my own Christian life, vitality and authenticity in our parish life, the care for the poor, the vulnerable, that desire for personal holiness, and correspondingly that zeal for mission, and then all of that animated essentially by a real love for God, and that overflowing into love of neighbor and experiencing God's love in that love of neighbor. These markers, I think, they're measures, but they're also means. Maybe if you're looking at your own life, it's like maybe there's not a lot of Christian vitality there. These are sure ways to receive a deeper portion of that Christian life and of that peace, that joy, that sanctification through these different things. And that's ultimately what the stewardship in our parish of treasure, of time and talent is meant to foster, that vital Christian life that is a blessing not only for myself, but also an invitation to all of those in the world who don't yet know the love of Christ, who don't know the love of being part of the body of Christ and part of a parish family. And we all have our part to play That's why we say that our parish mission is indeed, it's to form disciples, to live, but also to share the abundant life of Christ. May we scrutinize our own lives and be open to the ways that we can grow in that Christian vitality, and may in our support of our parish in many different dimensions help realize that in the lives of those around us.